And again, as we've seen, he's comparing the growth of the church to the work of a farm. And on a farm, one would plant the seeds, one would water the seeds, but the farmer himself does not cause the growth. The farmer can do all the things that would provide the conditions for a great harvest, but the farmer is not in control of the growth. The very end of verse 9, Paul kind of shifts, and now he's moving on to a third analogy. Notice the last part of verse 9. It says, the field is the Lord's, and then it shifts to the notion of a building. Paul compares the church to a building. Let's read together verses 10 and 11. I'm moving to the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I looked at several different translations to find the one that I felt captured best the intention of the original, and it was the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And this is verses 10 and 11 from that particular translation. According to God's grace that was given to me, I laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it, but each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Same kind of analogy, but now he's moving on from the farm to a building. In the previous analogy, we had planters and waters. Now we've got a building, and Paul is laying the foundation of that building. Others will come along later and build upon that foundation. Notice he doesn't single out Apollos in this analogy. He just says, whoever, he uses an indefinite pronoun, whosoever builds upon that foundation, whether it be Apollos or anybody else. You think about it, that should be every single one of us. Each of us, as we mentioned earlier, has been called by God to a particular task. It may be planting seeds, it may be watering, it may be building something on this foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Each one of us has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit for some work within the body of Christ. Each of us should actively be using our gifts in some way to build. Notice that Paul says here that it's only by the grace of God that he lays that foundation. Think about the previous passage, the analogy of the planting and the watering. We're told that each servant did the work to which God had appointed him. Each of us has some kind of appointment to the work of ministry. Each of us has been gifted by God's grace to accomplish the work to which he has called you. The real question is, what has God called you to do? What has God gifted you to do? Early in our service, Anita was sharing with us about Compassion Network. I think one of her gifts in this church is to bring to our attention this important ministry, and to remind us to help out and contribute. She's finding and fulfilling her God-given task. Notice as well that there is no assignment to lay another foundation. The foundation is singular. It is only Jesus Christ. Anyone who tries to build another foundation, that would be a false teacher. So we need to come to the church and build upon the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Even Paul didn't design or create this foundation. God's foundation was given through Jesus. Paul established that. He came to Corinth preaching Christ and Him crucified. No one can lay any other foundation than the one that has been laid. If you do, it will result in something other than the Church of Jesus Christ. Now the others, whether it be Apollos in the Church of Corinth or you and I at First Baptist, we need to build upon that one foundation, not changing the foundation, but building upon it. And notice the warning here that Paul gives us. He says, each one must be careful how he builds on it. It's a severe warning. Each one of us is to watch himself, watch herself, to be careful that you're only building upon that foundation. And there's an element of accountability in this passage. In the previous analogy with watering and planting, the focus was the work of God that one was brought to work on and that God was to get the increase. Here in this particular analogy, the focus is on the worker and how that worker builds. And the care and the quality that each worker brings to that building project. There's a sense in which the workers contribute different things, and the quality of their workmanship is to be examined. The workers aren't to be exalted, they're to be held accountable. So to recap this analogy, Paul lays that one foundation of Jesus Christ. The other workers come along. They build upon that foundation. And there's so many things to do. We mentioned that there's more than just watering and planting seeds when it comes to a garden. There's also more to be done in our building, if the church is seen as that building. You have to lay down the floor, you have to put up the walls. There's plumbing work to be done, electrical work to be done. We need to make sure the roof is taken care of, the chimney is done, the siding is done. So many different jobs to do. I think about our own church here, so many different people doing so many different things. Some people helping with counting, some people helping with bookkeeping, some people helping with visitation, sharing, encouraging, supporting. The list goes on and on and on. So many jobs to do. The question for us is, what is your job? What is your calling? Thinking about a building, if that person who works on the plumbing does a poor job, you have leaky pipes. Any homeowner knows that leaky pipes is very, very dangerous. What about the person who's assigned to take care of the windows? What if they don't do a good job putting in those windows? Lots of problems will emerge. So each worker is to do his or her God-given assignment and do it well with the very best of their ability. Paul talks about the quality of each worker's contribution in verse number 12. Verse 12 says, if it is on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, you basically have two categories of building materials here. You've got good quality materials, gold, silver, costly stones. Those costly stones are the ones that do very well in creating the structure of the building. making it a worthy structure. But then you have some low quality materials, the wood, the hay, the stubble. These are the materials that do not last long. These are the materials that would be destroyed by fire, which we see in the next few verses is the means by which all the building materials will be tested. They're being tested for quality. Verse 13 says, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. The fire being talked about here is a testing, which will take place at an appointed time, an appointed day, when Jesus comes back to evaluate the work of each worker to determine the rewards received. And it's a testing by fire. This is not judgment for sin. It's testing by fire. As we'll see in the next couple of verses, it's not about salvation. The worker, even the worker whose materials were burned up, he's still saved. So we're not talking about gaining or losing your salvation in this passage. It's not a judgment before God for sin. Instead, it is a special time of examination and evaluation in which Jesus examines the work of all the workers, each one of us, in order to reward those who have been servants. The testing is a testing by fire. And the materials that survive, what survives the fire? Well, the gold, the silver, the costly stones, these will be shown to be high quality materials. Materials that don't survive this fire, the wood, the hay, the stubble, they will be shown to be quality materials. Remember, this testing is focused in on the kind of materials that each worker has used to build his or her portion of the building. A worker may choose to bring to the building project gold, silver, or costly stones, and those who choose and contribute the very best will be rewarded. The worker who chooses instead to build with hay and straw and stubble, they will receive no reward. Instead, the way I envision this, they will suffer loss. They will suffer embarrassment of seeing all that their work that they've done going up in flames. Let's look at the last two verses of this analogy. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he will be saved. Yet it will be like an escape through fire. The worker who builds with good quality materials will see his work survive. The worker who uses poor materials will see his work destroyed. Again, looking at the Holman Christian Standard Translation, it says, if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. But he, the worker, will be saved. It's not the worker who will suffer, it's the work. The worker will watch all of his or her work go up in flames. He will see that all of his efforts were in vain. Again, it's not a judgment about salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. We all will be judged for our sin. But that judgment has already been borne by Jesus on the cross. The day of testing we're talking about here is a testing for the work, for the rewards. Those who have done well will receive a reward. And what is that reward they will receive? Well, the passage here doesn't tell us, but I think for me, the greatest reward for any worker is the recognition from his or her master about a job well done. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21, we have the words of Jesus, who in this passage talks about the one who comes back and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Maybe you've heard that passage before. I've heard that passage, and I think to myself, the application of that passage is at the end when I stand before Jesus and he considers my work, my efforts, my building. He will be able to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." That's a reward. That's a far greater reward than any crown or any monetary reward we would get. Paul describes it this way, verse 15. He will be saved. Yet it will be like an escape through fire, or only as through fire. So with this in mind, the idea of embarrassment comes to mind. I want to have my master recognize my work rather than have my work be reduced to a pile because it did not survive the fire. There's not a punishment. Instead, there's a sense in which there is no commendation. There's a missed opportunity to please our Heavenly Master. We will not be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think about a sports analogy. Talking about the game earlier today. Those who are victorious on the field, those who play to their very best, those who gain the victory because of great effort and great work, there is celebration. And we want to celebrate. We celebrate God because God brings the increase. We celebrate the building because the building was survived. But then, there may be embarrassment or sadness for a loss. I think about my own ministry, whether it be as a Bible teacher or a school administrator or serving in this particular fellowship. And I think about the efforts and the work and the contribution that I strive to make. And I think, am I pleasing my Lord? Will he be able to say to me one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? If each one of us is called to a particular task, which we are, will we be able to hear words of commendation from our Master as we stand before him to answer for our efforts? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. I ask that you would just help us to be our own servant, in the work to which you have called us. I would pray that each one of us, as we build upon that foundation, do so with the best of motives, with the greatest effort of craftsmanship, that we would gather together the very best materials we can, and that we would serve you faithfully, hoping to hear your words of reward and praise at the end. We seek to please you because you are our master. We are your servant. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.